you'll pray real hard. Maybe God will give us something to say to you. I've been thinking a lot about peace. There's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and everything going on, and I've talked to a lot of people recently. Says, do you think the end could be near? I said, absolutely. The apostle thought it could be and preached that it could be.
Amen.
And he said, watch. That was his instructions. Watch. Be diligent. Be ready always. We wonder why the church is declining and why Christianity is not what it used to be. But I tell you, from listening to testimonies of my parents, my daddy was in World War II, and they didn't know but what their life was going to be over then. You know, they was praying for their lives, and the churches were pretty much full. But we've got it real easy now, don't we? And people want peace. I remember when COVID hit, first thing that people started saying was, I just want it to get back to normal. Well, I said, I'm afraid that was the problem.
Amen.
The normal, I don't think God was pleased with.
Amen.
And I don't know. We're about to get back to where I see a few masks. That's okay. And God bless y'all. If you want to wear them, wear them. I'm all for you. But we're about to get to the place where we say, I'm not going to wear a mask anymore, and I'm going to get back to normal. Well, I hope we don't get back to the place where we're so normal that we don't beg God and pray and prepare ourselves to worship. And even when we go to pray, I told Elder J.C. Stanley several years ago, I said, Brother J.C., I drive 30 minutes to work, and I do my praying on the way to work. He said, Brother Danny, you need to think about getting up a little earlier because you can't pray driving down the road. And it was such a good lesson for me. So I started getting up earlier, and not only that, I found out that I need to think about what I'm going to pray about.
Right.
Before I just delve into prayer.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about peace in a minute, I think. Prayer, the old song says, is a soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in our breast. A prayer that is not given to you of God is probably of yourself. Myself. When God gives you a prayer, lays a heavy burden upon your heart to pray for somebody that's sick, or for your pastor to preach to you on Sunday, the things that you need to hear, and to give you ears to hear it, and a love for it, whether it matches up with your traditional thoughts or not, if it's Scripture. So I want to talk about peace for a minute. The whole world's in an uproar. It's a mess.
Amen.
And I tell you what I believe. Wouldn't it be something if you heard that trumpet right now? The voice of the Lord and the angels descending and... Oh. Could we run out and say, come on down, Lord Jesus? Or would we want to hide under the rocks and the cliffs and the mountains? And oh, God, help us to look forward to that day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. I want to have peace. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there appeared... No, I don't have the right scriptures. I didn't have time to look the scriptures up, so I'm going to stab at it. When Jesus was born, the angels appeared to shepherds in the field. Why'd they go to the shepherds? God sent them there.
Yeah.
Who were the shepherds? They were people that the Pharisees didn't even want in the temple. They were nomads. They wandered from place to place, and they slept outside and probably had fleas on them, according to the Pharisees. But that's the very people that God sent the host of heaven. What would that be like? The host of heaven. The angel appeared and said that baby's born in Bethlehem and singing peace on earth, goodwill to men. The whole host of heaven showed up in that chorus, singing to these shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Mm-hmm. I heard some good preaching this morning, but you know what? There was never peace like this. There was never peace between man and God like it was when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up on the earth.
Right.
Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Peace between man and God now. Peace is coming between man and God. Peace on earth. Lord, send your peace to this earth. I think about peace that's beyond understanding. Peace that is... We can't even comprehend it. He says, the peace that we can enjoy and have with the Lord. An example of that is when the disciples are on the ship with Christ and is crossing the lake or the sea, and great storm come up, and they were scared. They were in terrible fear because the boat was taking on water and Jesus was asleep, and they're saying, they go wake him up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" He said, "Oh," I believe he said, "Oh, you have little faith," maybe. I don't know, not that, maybe not that. He stood up and he rebuked the wind. And I understand that the water was calm. The wind quit blowing. The water was calm all at once. And they saw something that they couldn't believe. Uncomprehendable. Peace beyond our understanding. They knew it. They saw it. They couldn't understand it. And they said, "What kind of word is this that can rebuke the wind?" Mm-hmm. And it stops, and there's peace. I want to go to John 14 for just a minute. I'm thinking about when Jesus was finishing his ministry on this earth, and excuse me for being so scattered, but the time had come when he began to tell them about John. John 12 and 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Mm-hmm. Now, they finally got the point. They finally understood that this Messiah that they had handed down over the generations and generations, maybe 4,000 years or so, he was coming to be the King of Israel. He's going to come in riding a white horse. He's going to conquer all of our enemies. He's going to revenge us. He's going to pay everybody back for what they've been doing to us. And this thing, and he's going to be the king of Israel. Well, he come in riding a mule.
Yep.
And they were so ashamed. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend. Just as soon at midnight be ashamed of them. I can't get out of that song. On whom my hope depends. You ever been ashamed of Jesus? I'm afraid I have. I'm afraid there's been times I was like Peter and said, I don't know him. I don't remember a time that I've ever cursed and said I didn't know him, but there's been times that I refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ in my life. And what a shame that is. Well, Jesus said, it was not long. I mean, we're hours before the cross here, John 12, 13, 14, just hours. And he says, I'm going away. And they said, if you read all the Gospels, you'll find it says, well, who's going to take over? Who's going to take his place? Which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Which one are you going to appoint? You know how he answered that? He said, get me a pan of water and a towel. And he washed their feet. And he said, now, the least is the greatest. That's hard just to get our minds around, isn't it? If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to be a servant.
Right.
And we preachers, there's no wonder it's so hard to get our points across. I mean, it's like asking the people that's cleaning up the floor, advice and wisdom. It's asking for, well, we're servants. Why should anybody believe us? But I pray that we're servants of the Lord.
Amen.
And that we'll be accepted and live up to some degree to that great honor. So Jesus washed their feet, and Peter says, now wait a minute. I don't think you ought to wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Well, just wash me all over then. Yeah, just wash me. Yeah. He said, that's not necessary, Peter. If you've been cleansed, you're clean. I'm trying to show you how to serve one another without trying to be the big I and little you.
Right.
You know. Then we get to 14, and I just love this. If you've heard me preach on it, forgive me, but John 14. Now, remember, hours before the cross, this is serious. He gathers them all around him, and his little disciples, he just, y'all just gather around me and sit down here. And let not your hearts be troubled. I want to tell God's people this today.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what Putin's going to do. But I know what the Lord promised us. Let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah, right.
Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. These Jews had believed in God all along, but they're having a little bit of trouble with this mule rider. And they're throwing stuff down, you know, the kids, the little children, and the dumb people, the ones that, you know, not the Pharisee or the publican or the fancy folk. It was just children singing Hosanna,
yeah,
to the king. Pharisees say, who is that? Jesus says to his disciples, you believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not even going to qualify this. I'm just going to go on. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also.
Yeah.
Somebody says, oh, all of that was prepared before the foundation of the world. Well, all I know is Jesus said, I'm going to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Oh yes, heaven was there. The abode of God was there. The throne of God was there. But we didn't have a place in it until Jesus prepared our souls, prepared our lives, and then He made a mansion. He went and dressed it. Let me explain that a little further. My wife, I love to sit in my recliner at the end of the day. And for a long time, I couldn't figure out why it was so comfortable to sit in my living room, just kick back and just rest a minute. And I finally, a guy told me, I said, what do you do? He said, well, I design city parks and plant the right trees and the right grasses and the right shrubs and all that stuff. So when you go to that park, you can just lay down on that soft grass and the sun will be coming through the trees just right and you just don't want to leave. He said, that's what I do. I design city parks and things like that. I realized that that's why I like my recliner so much. My wife, bless her heart, has put stuff on the wall that I kind of complained about when she... You know those rolled up grapevines and stuff? You know, you think, well, I could got that somewhere. But you pay like... Anyway, I finally I realize why I'm so comfortable. It's designed for me.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to dress it just for you. If I'm going too far with this, brethren, just chalk it off to me. But you're going to be so happy when you get there. Because it's just for you. It's designed for you. And you're going to be at peace then.
Yeah. Amen.
You're going to sit back. Right. For eternity. Peace. Peace. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Paul would say, oh, wretched man. He kept talking about, I want to do right, but sin is with me. I would do good. You know how all that goes. But evil is present with me. That I would, that I do. And he comes down to the end of that seventh chapter and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, he didn't leave it there.
No.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
That's how an old wretched sinner like me can have that mansion prepared and designed just for me. I want to say it again. People said, oh, I just want a little cabin in the corner. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I don't either. I want that mansion that Jesus Christ has prepared for me. Now, he said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you go or how to get there. We don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Jesus said, where I go, you know. Where was he going? He's going to the cross, wasn't he? That's the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father,
right,
but by me. We can figure all this other stuff out and all these other theological reasoning and everything, but I'm telling you, my friends, Jesus Christ is our salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
He goes on and he tells his little group, how much time have I got, Brother Paul? What time did I start?
I don't know.
I'm probably wondering around too much, but he said, I'll pray the Father. Now he said, I'm going away. And they said, what are we going to do? He said, I'll pray to the Father. He'll give you another comforter. That's verse 16. That he may abide with you forever. I need a comforter.
Yeah.
I really do. And it's not something you put on a mattress. It's a comforter that helps
Amen.
Me when I am tore up.
Amen.
When I'm in a mess. Maybe you don't go there, but I do. I get in a mess.
Amen.
And the comforter comes. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Because I live, you shall live also, he says. Praise God. Now, he goes on in some of the scripture and he says, my peace I give you. There it is. Verse 27 of John 14. Peace I leave with you. Not just a comforter, but I leave with you. I leave you with peace. Brethren, I don't want to talk about myself too much, but I tell you what. I've laid in ditches in Vietnam. At peace with God. Not knowing how long my life was going to be. It didn't matter. It just didn't matter. I had the great privilege to fly into a battle on helicopter. And I scared to death, but I was at peace. Now, I don't know if you understand that or not, but anybody that's ever been in battle, if you wasn't scared, there's something wrong with you, I think. But I was scared. But I knew. You know what come to me as we was going in on that LZ? I'm either going home to be with the Lord, or I'm going back home to my folks and my church, and it's going to be good.
Amen. Either way.
Either way. It's all right. Now listen to what Jesus said. This is the kind of peace that I want. He says, almost to the cross now, right? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you have the peace of God?
Mm.
My peace I give you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Jesus, our Lord, about to undergo the greatest suffering no human body had ever experienced. That suffering, that eternal suffering, whoever said that this morning. It was an eternal wrath of God poured out on Jesus Christ. No man had ever suffered that, but he was at peace. For this cause came I into the world. It's okay. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Oh, the peace of Jesus Christ. If we can be at peace with the Lord. I remember standing by the bedside of a dying man a few years ago, and he had struggled hard, tremendous pain, and he finally got easy and he said, I have peace with God. He was a preacher, a primitive Baptist preacher. I have peace with God. It's all right. Folks, that's what it's all about, isn't it? My peace I give you. And those disciples that saw that water settle down and that wind stopped blowing and the water settled down, and what word is this? Peace, be still. Peace, be still. What an amazing God we have. And how, even in the midst of all of the pain and suffering, we got a prayer list on our Wednesday night service and our Sunday service, and it gets longer and longer. People got terminal disease, cancers, and all kinds of things. And I think, oh, there's so much pain and suffering in the world. How can we be at peace with this? We can. We can be at peace. God is our peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. It will be all right. Either whether we continue to live here or we go on to be with the Lord. My peace I leave with you. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. God and man is reconciled. For the first time in history, the law had just bore down on them, and, you know, they couldn't keep it, and on and on. Not that they didn't. There was many times they had peace in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit worked there just like He does now today to some great degree, but not with the power that it works today.
Amen. Right.
That, not it. The power that God the Holy Spirit has today was also manifest in the Old Testament, is what I'm trying to say. Brother Paul, that's it. May God bless you. I hope you got something to take home with you. And just meditate on or think about. Thank you.
Oh, life and